as much as I love Mortal Kombat, bro, I'll tell you right now, with this movie that just came out on HBO Max, that was the first time I ever seen a Mortal Kombat movie.
Really? So you didn't watch the first one or Annihilation?
Nah, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because as much as I love the video game, even as a child, when I saw the trailer on TV for the first Mortal Kombat movie, I was like, nah, that ain't it, Chief. I can't do it.
So you could tell, even at a young age,
mm-hmm.
that because this might not be what you think it would be or needs to be.
It's like, yo, that ain't my Sub-Zero. That ain't my Scorpion. Like, nah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Madcap Movie Review Podcast. But this time, we're not going to do one of our Madcaps because I know it's been a while since we've been on. And, you know, right now it's me and Sean. And yep. Shout out to our boy Derek. You know, he's out there doing the family man thing. Got a little one on the way. Hope I'm not spilling no news, but I'm sure he's making a lot of big moves. You know what I'm saying? So, shouts out to him while you're making that transition coming on. And I guess in the meantime, Sean, I just wanted to give the people a little something, just chop it up with you, talk a little movies, a little TV, kind of see where you's at. Cause I know you have some things to say about some of the stuff that's been coming out lately. So I figured we just start with some of the stuff that has come on HBO Max, because they've been putting out a lot of good stuff. And then we'll talk into a few things that we watched kind of across streaming platforms. Most notably, right before we got on, that Jamie Foxx show on Netflix. So, before we get real, real deep into it, man, like how you been enjoying these last few weeks off from the Madcap, man? Have you had a chance to enjoy any time, or you just kind of been grinding away?
Yo, it's been a mad grind. You know, for those who don't know, I work in higher education, and you know, my year
learning.
Yeah, my year works totally different than the majority of my colleagues. Like when folks are winding down as the spring semester moves along, that's when I'm winding up. You know, I have two summer programs that I run for first year students, so I got to close out the spring at the same time while getting ready for the summer and, you know, dealing with the pandemic and all the ramifications that we have to implement changes to bringing students back on campus and our office being shorthanded. You talking about enjoying the time off, bro. Shit, I wish we could have been on here doing some podcast, man, because that would have given me a breath to take.
Yeah.
You know? I'm getting tired of, you know, carving out time on the weekend to fit work shit in. That shit ain't fun. So I'm definitely happy to carve out some time today just to kind of relax and, you know, talk about some of the stuff we've been watching.
Man, for real, though, because I've been itching to get back on the podcast. But as y'all all know, I got two wonderful twin baby girls. And they just don't want me to podcast a lot. You know, they need a lot of attention. And I can't be mad at them because they're cute as can be. And so I kind of feel you, bro, because even then, like if I'm not dealing with them, I'm doing some other stuff for, you know, myself, my old lady, my other kids. And you kind of just, you know, be adulting. You know, a lot of the times, bro, it's like I really got an appreciation for whoever came up with that term adulting, because it's a real thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like once you kind of get into the flow of things, you you try not to lose, you know, your lust for things that you really like. Like me, for example, it's the video games. You know, I love to jump on my PS4, you know what I'm saying? Play a little Red Dead, jump on Fortnite with my son. You know, I tried out that new Watch Dogs. I really wasn't feeling it too much. But, you know, I'm like, when you're just doing adult stuff all the time,
yeah,
it's like this, it just lets everything go by the wayside. And so, bro, I'm like, I'm right there with you, bro. It feels good to be back in front of a microphone, recording and just chopping it up, man. This is what I need right now.
Can I share something real quick?
Go ahead.
It made me think about it when you said, you know, chilling, playing on the PlayStation 4. While we've been gone, I was just tired one day. I was like, yo, I got to do something to just relax, even if it's just for an hour. You know what I mean? I got on eBay and I bought a PlayStation 3.
Mm.
And there's a bookstore that I go to. That's about 15 minutes from my house, and it's a bookstore, but they sell, you know, comics, graphic novels, used CDs and vinyl and DVDs and games as well. I found NCAA football 2013. Now, you know, they don't make them no more. They stopped at 2014. So I saw that one day, I picked it up and went on eBay, got the PlayStation 3. While I was on eBay, I saw College Hoops 2K8 and scooped that as well. So, you know, the little time where I've tried to kind of relax, I've jumped on, you know, the PS3, just playing some old games that, hell, ain't out no more.
That's crazy, bro. Like, it's funny that you even brought that up, because it's hard for me to go back on a lot of stuff, you know, not just because of how it looks, but just, you know, some of the mechanics and just the pure enjoyment. So for you to be able to go back to PS3, I commend you for that. And I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, I came close to buying a PS1 because I still have my screen. And so I just need another PS1 so I could at least play the games. And then I thought about it. I'm like, it's really just going to be for decoration.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't need to buy that right now. And so I didn't. But you know what I did find out is I waited too long to buy one, because now they're like $100.
Boy, them prices skyrocket. You
know, like, it used to be like $40.
Look, like, I ain't even going to lie. Like, I think I got a good deal on the PS3, but that College Hoops, that shit wasn't cheap. I ain't even gonna lie. Joe bought that College Hoops for me.
Mm.
Thank you, President Biden.
Yeah, I'm about to say, man, shout out to all the Stimmy Combos, bro. I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I'm like looking at this eyeball right now. You know what I'm saying? I needed to stimulate with this voice. Make sure I sounded good in the hallway. So I know exactly what you're talking about, man, but let's get into it, man.
Okay.
So I guess with the HBO Max movies, I kind of want to work backwards. So the latest one to drop was Mortal Kombat,
mm-hmm.
which me myself, I just had the lowest of low expectations.
That's real.
Because it's a video game movie.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really name any good video game movies to begin with? Like, I tried, bro. Like, they all trash. All of them. I mean,
if you like them, there you have to know that they're not good.
Like, do you like any of the Resident Evils or Tomb Raiders?
I don't like any of the Tomb Raider movies. Resident Evil, they're not good. I mean, if you're watching it, you're watching it for a specific reason. Maybe you like that girl on the cast, she bad. Let me watch it for her. You know what I mean? That's the reason why you're watching a Resident Evil movie. You're not watching it because it's an overall good movie or the story. I mean, the story is kind of trash because the story has nothing to do with the game.
Nah.
The main characters aren't even in the movie. So nah, I can't think of a video game, and you know, some that are recent, you know, I just haven't seen, you know. So yeah, the expectations for a movie adaptation of a video game are extremely low.
So, and you just brought up a very good point, which is I think the most important catalyst for Mortal Kombat, in my opinion, being as good as it is because it's not about the characters from the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story inside of the video game. And it kind of also sets up an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had not really digested Mortal Kombat in that way before. It was almost like they Marvelized it in a mm-hmm. way. And so I was really digging it, man. So, you know, tell me, what was your first impressions of this movie, man?
So I'm going to shock you right off bat. Growing up, as much as I was into video games, and let me tell you, bro, when Mortal Kombat came out, that was the shit.
It was. It you was.
Know, that was top tier. Like, I don't know anybody that I know that played video games that Mortal Kombat wasn't in your top three. Like, that was in regular rotation.
It was a requirement. It's like you get the game system, you get a Madden, you get an NBA Live, and you get a Mortal Kombat.
There you go.
And now, you might not get the latest one, but you're going to get
one. You get one of them. Totally agree. Mm-hmm. So, man, super, super invested into the Mortal Kombat franchise. I had to have every new a version that came out, and you know, I tried to time it with my parents, you know, around a birthday or Christmas, so it wasn't one of those random days and they might say no. So right. As much as I love Mortal Kombat, bro, I'll tell you right now, with this movie that just came out on HBO Max, that was the first time I ever seen a Mortal Kombat movie.
Really? So you didn't watch the first one or Annihilation?
Nah, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because as much as I love the video game, even as a child, when I saw the trailer on TV for the first Mortal Kombat movie, I was like, nah, that ain't it, Chief. I can't do it.
So you could tell, even at a young age,
mm-hmm.
that because this might not be what you think it would be or needs to be.
It was like, yo, that ain't my Sub-Zero. That ain't my Scorpion. Like, nah, I can't do it, Chief. Not at it. So
not my Sub-Zero, bro. That's a sick bar.
That's not it. So when I saw the trailer for this, you know, I had my throwback feelings before I pushed play, because the first time I saw the trailer was on it flashed up on my Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
So I pushed play. I was like, okay, let me see what this is. And I got the anticipation. I was like, you know what? This looks like it might be good. So when it dropped, I just saw it last Sunday.
Shout out to the trailer cutters.
So I was kind of taken aback by the original character concept. But then I like how they tied it in. And like you said, made it like an origin. Like, he had bloodline with a core character. So if you're going to do an original character like that, I would prefer it, in this case, be done that way. Not like Mortal Kombat, who just introduced a whole bunch of new characters. Like, this chick wasn't in the video game at all. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? So from that standpoint, I can appreciate what Mortal Kombat did. I could just say I thoroughly enjoyed the entire movie, man. If I had to, you know, nitpick, the only thing that I didn't enjoy, like, as much as they talked it up, you know, talked up the fight, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get to the tournament. We didn't actually have a tournament. Like, when we got to the final fights, it was a plan to, You know, let's get them before the fight. You know, let's add a fight before the fight. You know, that ultimately is how everything shook out. So that would be the only thing that I had a nitpick. I was really looking forward to seeing how they would make the tournament aspect of it work. We didn't get there, but hey, it's always Mortal Kombat 2, and I'm hoping that they'll make up for it there.
Okay, so I will say that you have a point with the fact that there was no tournament, but I think what we learned from the first two Mortal Kombats is that we can't focus on the tournament because the tournament makes for a bad movie. And that's why I feel like the origin story thing was much needed, because we had to figure out how we got here in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I don't think nobody ever really did a good job, even in a video game, honestly. Like, I don't think I ever really learned how anybody became anybody.
Nope.
They just showed up like,
yeah. Yep.
And so this is the first time I'm even thinking about like, oh, so Scorpion is from hell. That's why he has fire powers.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
Oh, dude, and I was totally confused at the beginning. I was like, yo, where are we going with this? Like, because it's like what you said.
He had a daughter too.
Yeah, so like, it's like you don't like these people are speaking. These people are moving and speaking. There's something going on here, but I don't even know who I'm watching right now. And that goes to your point. Like the video game, we don't know the background of these people. It's like they show up. Now we may know what happens to them in the future once they show up. Right. You know, there's relationships there, you know, characters had kids together and all this other stuff. Like, we know the future, but we didn't know the background. So that's why I said, like, once I kind of figured out where this story was going, it's like, my man just went to hell. Oh, that's Sub-Zero. That's where he came from. That's where this beef exists. It's like, yo, you grabbed me. Now I'm invested in this story, which we've never really had with anything Mortal Kombat, I feel.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we didn't really have with the other Mortal Kombats is Mortal Kombat existing inside of society. You know, we never really took Mortal Kombat and pushed it into a city where like people would perish because of what's going on. You know, it's kind of always been this thing on an island and it's kind of been tucked away, but nah, this got to be real in the field. Mm-hmm. Like Sub-Zero was coming for that ass.
Yeah.
and we really had to take into account for how he was going to get there and what he was going to do to make him, well, basically to end that bloodline. Mm-hmm. And so I really thought they made some real important choices to make a good movie and not so much try to just do a Mortal Kombat thing. So I very much applaud everybody that worked in that one. You know, even the training on how they unlock their powers, you know, I never even knew that. That's what's required. Like, that's how Kano gets a laser eye. Oh, he got angry. Like, okay. Like, it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And then the only way you can get it is if you defeat somebody else to get the mark. Like, I was like, okay. It's like, all right. I didn't know any of this. You know, if I feel like maybe if I would have watched any of the Mortal Kombat TV series or other movies, maybe I might have known this, but bro, they really brought in a whole new light to it. And honestly, bro, this is probably like the first time I'd have had my kids be able to just sit down for a whole movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, my kid, I try to watch so many different things with them and they're just not into it, bro. This first thing they was in, 2 hours locked in, bro. So that one, I think that was the highlight probably of the last couple weeks. You got anything else you want to say on it before we move on to another one?
Oh, I'll just say I thoroughly enjoy Kano.
Yo, Kano was firing this shit, son. I'm not gonna lie. I thoroughly enjoy Kano, man.
That the asshole of all assholes, man. Shout out to that guy. Bring him back, Mortal Kombat 2. He has to, you know, man. Say, yo, death is but a door.
Right.
There's always a comeback. So, yo, I hope they bring him back. Yo, they nailed that casting.
I mean, that dude was despicable in that movie, though. Yeah. Like, honestly, bro, somebody help you get your superpower, and then you like, fuck, you know what? I'm just going to let the enemy come in.
Yeah.
You just sell your soul to the highest bidder. You don't know what's on the other side of that. This dude eats souls, bro.
Didn't take much to get him to the other side, man.
Just come on, man.
Dirt of all dirt. Yeah. So great casting on that.
All right, man. So we talked about Mortal Kombat. So what else we hit now? Oh, real quick, have you watched Mayor of Easttown?
I have not. That's on the list.
Please watch that. When you watch it, you'll want to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm just gonna say, Kate Winslet, you fight for that one. You know what I'm saying? That one's a banger. That is also on HBO Max. Yo, HBO Max got some.
They doing it, bro. They dealing.
Like, I'm really trying not to pay for that shit, but every time I get close, bro, every time. And then they got all my shit. You know, my girl, she not a big into, you know, animated shows, but you know what I'm saying? They got Black Dynamite, they got the Boondocks. You know, they got Rick and Morty, and I was just like, yeah,
South Park,
everything.
Oh, then you know, they just dropped Batman the animated series on there, Batman Beyond's on there. If anybody out there who's a Batman person, you know, I'm going to assume that you've seen the Batman animated series. If you have not, shame on you. You know, even Batman Beyond, yo, bro.
Yeah, I remember that shit.
Batman,
that shit was fire.
But then, you know, Harley Quinn and Harley Quinn show is on there, and yo, that is some bomb shit. You know, I'm midway through the first season of that, and yo, it's some of the best animated shit I've ever seen. But yeah, man, let's get into this Kong versus Zilla, bro.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And one more, bro. Like, shout out to Static Shock, bro.
Forgot about that.
We don't be talking about my nigga Static, bro. He don't get no love out here in the DC universe. But you know what I'm saying? I'm going to big up you one time. But let's talk about King Kong and the Godzilla. You know, so you actually dropped something about King Kong and Godzilla movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
That I think some people who have listened to this podcast might find to be a little shocking.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the theme for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just following up on what I said about Mortal Kombat, prior to seeing King Kong versus Godzilla, I had never seen a King Kong movie or a Godzilla movie before. I had my reason.
Yo, son, that's mad crazy, son. Like, you ain't seen none of them shits, son?
Yo,
shits?
I don't know, man. I think, so, just to think about Godzilla for a minute, you know, maybe when I was young, I probably stereotyped the hell out of those movies, you know. Let's be real, you know.
Yeah.
When you think about Godzilla, you just think about a monster who's just, you know, scaring a bunch of Japanese people. I'm like, how many movies can you possibly make? And then I heard that there were tons of them.
There's a bunch.
There's tons of them. So
there's Godzillas, and then there's Godzilla versus everybody.
So it's like, yo, how many times can Godzilla appear and just go around and fuck up Japanese people? You know what I mean? Japan can't exist. You know,
it's like you just keep stopping. Yeah, that shit.
You keep even if you're doing, you know, country by country, city by city, as many times as even popped up, there has to be no Japan. You know, it's just that you can't build shit that fast. I don't care how. And then, you know, King Kong, I mean, shit, I don't really have any explanation for King Kong. Just never seen it. But hey, it dropped on HBO Max. It was there. So, you know what? Let me check this out. Again, low expectations. Mm-hmm. And it's just because it's a monster movie. Number one, you know, it's something that you're not going to expect to have great acting. So throw that out the window. What I'm looking for is just, okay, I'm looking for, you got a versus. I think,
okay.
You know, I'm looking at the versus. How are they going to do this? You know, I probably wouldn't have seen this movie if, you know, I dropped on CL before we got on. You know, if I hadn't seen a movie with these monsters before, that means I haven't seen, you know, Skull Island or Godzilla King of Monsters, anything before that. So, but I know these two are monsters. We're putting them together. So just like Freddy versus Jason and all the other verses that we've had, I want to see how you're going to make this work. What story are you going to tell? Like, is this about a story, or you just want these two monsters to come together and battle it out to see who is the best out of the two? And, you know, I did a little research before I actually watched the movie, and from everything that I saw that has happened in, you know, whether it's comics or movies, and even the physical build of both monsters and the power that each possess, I'm like, okay, so from what I'm reading, Godzilla should win. So this movie has to be more about, you know, I don't even think King Kong really has a chance. So there has to be story here. Like, there has to be something underneath this to carry this whole movie. And, you know, I wasn't as impressed as I was with Mortal Kombat, but I was impressed enough to go, you know what, after I've seen this, let me go all the way back and watch everything. I'm intrigued enough by what I've seen here. And, you know, HBO Max has everything, like we've already said, you know.
Yeah, they bought a whole stack.
Yeah. They got King Kong, the first King Kong from 1933, the sequel that was released 9 months later, which is crazy. You know, they have the, you know, the first Godzilla in 54, you know, on to the mid 70s. So just watching it, again, not expecting much, but this movie pulled me in enough that now I want to catch back up. So yeah, I'll kind of let you chime in before.
Okay. Yeah. So I think there's a big footnote that you dropped there, which is you hadn't seen Skull Island or the other King Kong or the recent Godzilla with your girl Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. And because those movies basically come to a head in this movie, it's basically tying those together. It's almost its own little mini universe, the way they bring it together. Excuse me. So if you, me, because I had watched all of those movies, I knew this going in. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for some resolution on, like, okay, how are they going to bring all of this together? Mm-hmm. You know, like, this ought to be a little interesting, because, like, at first, they seemed like they were on completely different planes of existence. But when they brought together the corporation and basically them trying to find, you know, that Middle Earth energy, that's what I'm going to call it. I don't know exactly what they called it in the movie, but they were trying to get that Middle Earth energy, man. And And that really made a really big thread that you could just glide through. And then once they kind of explained, you know, what each individual wanted, then it no longer was about the fight. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, on paper, Godzilla is going to kill this nigga every time. You know what I'm saying, bro? This dude has like plasma blasts coming out his mouth, bro. Like, you can't do nothing about that. And then, you know, King Kong ain't the best swimmer. So if you on the water, son, you dead. You know what I'm saying? So you right. Going into this, it's really about how are they going to thread the needle of bringing both of these to either have a common enemy. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of figured, I'm like, what is the common enemy going to be? You know, spoiler alert, it ended up being Mechagodzilla. And Sean, I mean, I know you said you're caught up, but you gotten to Mechagodzilla?
I'm there. Like, the next movie that I watch is the first Mechagodzilla movie.
And so that one right there, you know, if you kind of up on Godzilla shit, that's the metal looking shit. And you know, in the earlier ones, it's got like real red eyes. It didn't look as cool as in the movie. They actually make it look a lot cooler than it had ever looked before.
Let me just say, bruh, nothing I've seen in going back and watching old King Kong or Godzilla movies looks cool. Nothing. Not at all. You know, bro. What? The most appalling thing that I've ever seen, which, you know, I text my best friend and I was like, Vega, I'm about to stop watching this shit, bro.
I know what you're about to say.
Like, Mini Godzilla.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what it is. The son of Godzilla. That was it for me. Like, when my man coughed a plasma ring, I immediately picked up my phone. I was like, dude, I don't know if I keep going. I'm trying to get to Mechagodzilla and all the other places, but they just threw this little kid in me. I don't know if I can do it, but yeah, nothing looks cool. But on the flip side, the shit in this movie, yeah, that shit looked cool.
That shit was definitely a vibe. And you know, I ain't gonna front, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got a nice little 60 inch downstairs, and I put the I went ahead and got the sound bar with the Atmos, bro.
Nice.
Yo, there's a reason why they do these boobies in Atmos, and it's for shit like Godzilla versus King Kong. And when I tell you, I can hear him creeping in the corners, and like even just pretty much like the entire sound design behind the way they put this movie together, coupled with the way it looked, it was a good experience from beginning to end. And so, you know, while we're talking about Mechagodzilla, now I thought it was weird that they pulled it off, because at first it was just, you know, a person inside of it, but this one they basically made it an AI. Mm-hmm. And that really made it feel real modern, because that's probably what would happen. Mm-hmm. Is you would have an AI Godzilla, but of course, you know, you lose control and it has a mind of its own when all things AI come out movie.
I got real Ultron vibes from that.
Right?
So I was digging it.
And so I was a big fan of how they pull all of that off. And even the resolution where, you know, Godzilla going back to do his thing and King Kong basically got to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Who would have ever thought that we would get to that type of resolution in the first place? You know, you pretty much thought it was just going to be a lot of monster fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would just go back to whatever. But man, it's a decent job, bro. It kind of makes me want to go back to the movies a little bit. I ain't gonna front.
Like I said, man, it was enough. And I told you what I wanted before I went into it. And I feel like that's what I got. You know, it wasn't going to be enough to see these two monsters fight, you know, and that's coming from me who don't know the story. I didn't see Skull Island, didn't see all the other stuff. So for me to not see the previous movies and, you know, got pulled in, I was very, very pleased. Now, if you're somebody like me who hadn't seen a King Kong movie or hadn't seen a Godzilla movie prior to this, then and you decide, hey, I'm going to go check out the older movies too, just know that shit ain't nothing like this.
it's not, bro.
Especially after Godzilla start, after Godzilla stops killing motherfuckers, like killing humans, and he turns into the good guy, then it really gets real. It goes from Batman 89 to Batman Forever really quick and gets real campy. So just be warned. But yeah, man, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Looking even from some of the monsters in the original movies that I've seen, man, I would love to see if they incorporated this monster verse and you know brung Mothra into it, you know, some a monster like that, or the you know, the little three-headed dragon little monster thing. I keep forgetting King something.
Hydra looking thing.
So yeah,
I always call it a Hydra because that's what it is. But you know, whatever the official name for it is.
You know, I'm about to say,
you know who else came out real big on King Kong versus Godzilla?
Who?
Fucking podcasters, bro. Shout out to the podcasters out here pushing plot. You know, they have my man Brian Tyree Henry playing a podcaster of, you know, an insider from the company, bro. And it helped drive an entire plot point in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she talked about that podcast, I said, bro, we made it, bro. Like, we mainstream than a mug right now. I felt so good. Like, talk about that podcast. I don't care. Just keep saying it. Get everybody familiar with that shit, little man. Shout out for them for that.
Yo, I'm glad, yo, we are still on the same wavelength, because I was just about to bring up his character. Just like I, you know, ended the discussion about my favorite character in Mortal Kombat, I wanted to end talking about that character in Godzilla versus King Kong, man, because we love everything that Brian does, but yo.
Absolutely, bro.
He was central to this story. I thoroughly enjoyed him.
Did a wonderful Bernie job. Hayes, that was his name.
Bernie Hayes,
In the movie. Yeah, man. Brian is, of course, Paperboy from Atlanta, if you don't know his name. And, bro, I just love everything he does. I can't front. I haven't watched anything that made me feel like he didn't belong in it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and just real quick, I like him in the remake he was just in.
You talking about Chucky?
Yeah.
I did it too.
I liked him in it. That was cool.
I did it too.
I was like, oh, this thing playing the CSI. Yeah,
I was kind of nervous about how it was going to go, but when I watched it, I was like, yeah. This is the truth.
I was like, you can do this for a living. Have you watched anything else on HBO Max since we did the little things?
You know what? No. But I did want to switch gears a little bit.
Let's go ahead and do that, man.
Amazon. Have you seen Without Remorse yet?
I did. I just watched it a couple days ago.
Me too. What'd you think about?
You know, them Tom Clancy's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
let's just start where we need to start at, man. them Tom Clancy's just got a certain vibe to them, and you kind of know the beats.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I did like some of the psychopathness that Michael B. did explain. That, I mean, he showed in the movie. But of course, it's babyface Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, like, how sinister is this nigga ever going to look, fam? Dude, like, you know, it's...
Can I say how I describe him, man? Like, say it, bro. I just need, like, I want to enjoy Michael B. Jordan more than I do. Like, I do, bro. But then when I look at him, it's like Creed. It's like, okay. Like, baby Adonis. And then we get to Black Panther, and then I'm like, okay, so you're woke, Creed. And then when we get to this, it's like, you're cop, Creed.
So, fucking soldier Creed. Just like every Creed.
Every little, and then, you know, he got, and he be making.
Like, is it his fault? Like, sometimes I don't feel like it's his fault. Like, it's just his face.
So, yeah, yo, I was just about to say the faces that he make. And like, oh man, it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's another level he's going to have to get to in these types of movies, because I keep looking at him. I think he has the ability to be an action star, but, you know, he's stuck somewhere. And it's like, yo, I can't keep watching you in these movies and keep comparing you to Creed. Like, I really believe that. Like, you're playing Adonis Creed, and then in these other movies. You know, I when I first watched Black Panther, as great as it was, and I'm not trying to diss Killmonger at all, but I'm like, yo, you're woke Creed. It's like,
Brad, is what it is, fam.
You know, like,
you can't. It is what it is. Like, I told you how I felt about that man in Black Panther, bro. Like, I was not buying him as no bad guy. It's not in him. But you know what? I don't know. Like, does he need to grow a beard? Like, would that help?
I don't.
Like, does he need to look more?
There needs to be a change to the look. There might be a night. There's another level of delivery that he needs to get to, because it feels like it's just there in this one place. Like, I can't separate him from some, like, God, man, I hate to bring up a comedian when we're talking about action movies, but man, fuck it, man. I can take a Eddie Murphy and I can give Eddie Murphy different levels. You know what I mean? Like, Axel Foley is different than another action movie that is in. That he's been in, you know what I mean? Go ahead.
I'm about to say, bro, because you're talking about Eddie Murphy, but I'm like, Eddie Murphy's a movie star.
Yeah,
you know, as much as he was a comedian, we know him for the parts he plays in movies at this point more than we know him about stand-up comedian, you know, bits. And you know, I mean, shit, you can even take it down to Dreamgirls and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? He got range.
Yeah.
But the problem with Killmonger is, you know, you just
there.
No, it's just there, bro. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, and like everybody that's listening to this podcast and you made it to this point, like, we are not saying that Michael B. Jordan is a bad actor.
Not at all.
We're not saying he's a bad person.
Not at all.
We're not saying that he's not capable of carrying movies. We're just saying that it just doesn't quite come across convincing all the time when we need him to be menacing in a place.
I'll say this. If he wants to step into that action realm, because they're already talking about me, and there was that mid-credit scene, you know, they're talking about that I think in the books it was like Rainbow Six or something like that. But there's something that comes after this. So there's a possibility we're going to see more of this character in another film. Like, even somebody as critiqued as Sylvester Stallone had different ranges as an action star. Like, if we want to talk about somebody Black, Wesley Snipes. You know, bro, Passenger 57. Passenger 57 is different than Blade. You know what I mean? Wesley Snipes has so much range in action alone. Action alone. We're not even talking about comedy that we've seen recently. We're not even talking about drama that we've seen in the past. You know, Michael just has to find that next gear, man. He has to establish more range than he has in this action realm, because he's literally the same person.
I'm going to have to 100% agree with you until we get an explanation on why Wesley Snipes was not one of the biggest action movie stars. You know, for the last 20 years, I can't quite put it together why Will Smith became the de facto guy instead of Wesley Snipes. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some type of market correction going on. Like, I know my boy Bill Simmons likes to talk about that, the market correction, like somebody comes along and then all of a sudden the person is getting all of those parts that would have went to the other person. Mm-hmm. We're gonna end the Michael B. Jordan talk right here. But it's hard, bro. But you know what? I will say this about the movie itself: good action sequences.
Yes.
The pouring the gasoline on the car and then jumping in and then shooting.
It's like, really? I was like, you're not in any hurry to get out of this burning
at all, bro. Like, I don't know what you just did with this, like this trickery where you only pour it and then you can touch the door and then get this. Maybe you just crazy as fuck. I don't know. But whatever, bro. This shit was just gangster. But yeah, man. If you have an hour and a half to kill and you like action sequences, please watch Without Remorse on Amazon Prime and see if you believe Michael B. Jordan.
And one more. The end. He had old buddy, and I'm not going to spoil it too much. But when he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. You going to say her name or we going off this bridge. And the motherfucker just went off the bridge. Yeah. So my man, you know, of course he had to set up so he could get out. But, you know, that's not promise. That's a big ass risk. You could have a plan to get out, but that don't mean you're going to get out in that situation.
Right. He was prepared to go.
If you talk about... I would just say this. Those two moments were some of the best zero fucks given moments that I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
So I would definitely give it. And I said something about it earlier about this story continuing to go elsewhere with a possible Rainbow Six movie. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see where it goes. I keep giving Michael B. Jordan chances, but you know, I hope he takes this and continues to build upon it, because there's some potential there. And for a Black series to come out of Tom Clancy novels, yo, let's do it, bro.
Yeah,
because this character,
I agree.
This character is not Black in the movies.
In the book,
it's a white dude. So
it's definitely a big look. For us to be the stars in the Tom Clancy stuff, because yeah, that definitely would have went to a straight hair white dude in the past. Mm-hmm. So that it's a sign of progress. You know, racism is not over, but we're in Tom Clancy movies.
Yo, before we get out of here, can we talk about some TV shows?
Let's do it, man. And then we're gonna wrap it up on this, man.
Cool. I want to talk about Law and Order. Have you seen Law and Order?
You know what? That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Is the new SVU and the new stable joint, what's it,
organized crime.
Yes, bro. So yes, please, Sean, give me your impressions of Organized Crime.
So
we're like four episodes in by the way.
Let's start with the reunion that happened
Okay, yeah, let's backtrack.
SVU. Right. So, do we really have to bring them back together by killing his wife? Like, that's the only, like, and I think we predicted this, especially when we saw the description of the show, a personal tragedy. Okay, that means somebody in his world, his personal space is either already offed or they're about to get offed. And you telling me after damn near 12 years apart that it's they are reunited by Benson being called to the attempted murder of his wife. You know, that, man, that's a stretch, man. That's a stretch. Now, I feel it that they tried to enter, you know, they tried to interweave it a little bit more. You know, Benson was supposed to get an award that night and, you know, Stabler was coming back to surprise her, support her at the award function. Man, that's a lot of coincidence to kind of, you know,
yeah,
you know, yeah, to pack in, you know what I mean? And then, you know, then we learn, oh, Stabler's been a cop for a while now. Cause, you know, when he first left, he retired, but now he's been like the attaché of
the NYD in Italy.
Like, wait a minute. Like, we got jurisdiction, we got task force and shit in Italy. Like, why? Yo, like, so I say all that to say, it was hella busy too quickly. Especially, you know, when we talk about Law and Order, everything is so, you know, steady pace.
It's a procedural.
You know, yeah. That was a lot to ingest and try to, you know, make sense out of. And, you know, logic is going to apply some coincidence to it. So it was a lot. It was a lot.
But you know what, though? And I think we're going to get into this, but it kind of lends into the pacing of the organized crime.
It does. So. I will give it that much, you know. So I'll tell you one thing. They put it in a safe space because SBU can handle all of that. All that stuff that we just described, that happened in an episode of SVU. They could not have started organized crime like that. They had to set that up in another show. So I'll give it that. Now, when we transition to organized crime, it kind of threw me off a little bit because it didn't feel like Law and Order. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. If you tell me something's Law and Order, I want the theme song. I want the duns. I want, you know, the mid cards before the screen. I want all that. And the first episode of Organized Crime gave you none of that. So I'm like, yo.
They had the trumpets on
there. Yeah. It was like, yo, I don't even know what I'm watching right now because it feels like I went from Law & Order SVU to Chicago Organized Crime. It felt like a Chicago show. You know, or maybe even a mix between the Chicago show franchise and the FBI franchise, because all that shit is Dick Wolf.
Yo, Dick Wolf.
So Dick Wolf is in his bag. You know what I mean?
The whole 30
years in the making. And on top of that, what's to come? You know, he got FBI International that's starting next year. And they're already talking about there's a third Law and Order that's coming out in the next year. I think I can't remember the name, but it has to do with defense lawyers. So basically, Law and Order has been playing offense for 30 years. Now they're gonna flip it and play defense. So I'm really interested.
What will they come up with next?
You know, so I'm interested in that. But I kind of like how they're doing organized crime. It takes some getting used to, because what you're used to with Law and Order, with FBI, with Chicago, with hell, even New York Undercover, you're used to, you know, one show being one case and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
with something like organized crime, there's nothing logically, you're not going to tell me that you have one organized crime case per episode. That just doesn't compute. So the fact that this, we're already four or five episodes in, and they're still progressing with the same case, and it's grown to be much larger than just the murder of Stabler's wife. There's some other shit that's in there. If you gave up on it too soon, I encourage you to go back. Okay. Because I think you were expecting regular Law and Order, and you didn't really compute how big organized crime is. It takes some shit to get used to. And even I've heard some stuff about next season that they're going to do next season. And like, if there's 24 episodes, there'll be like 3 8 episode stories. That makes sense for organized crime. You know what I mean? So I think the show, little rough start with all the shit that was going on to get us in SVU, to get us to organized crime, but I think it's settling now. You know what I mean? And I like the personal stuff about what's going on between Stabler and his kids. It's good to see all 5 of them. Oh man, them Stablers was out there fucking, boy. You know, they got a whole tribe, man. So good to see them back up in the mix. The whole him blurting out "I love you" at Olivia was a little awkward.
A little.
Yeah. And I was kind of getting on people on social media. I was like, wait a minute. This dude's wife ain't even cold in the grave yet. And y'all already trying to set him and Olivia up. Can we chill? If it gets there, I feel like Law and Order is not going to wrap as a franchise until Benson and Stabler gets together personally. So I feel like we're going to get there, but at least let's take some time to get there. But thoroughly, like, yo, I'm cool with how it's progressing. A little rough at the beginning, but yo, I like it.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm enjoying it. You know, me, somebody who's very high-minded when it comes to the content that I ingest. I don't do a lot of network television, but, you know, it's something about the way that Law and Order does do things that I'm a fan of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy to just jump in and like catch a couple episodes and be like, oh, you, and then they drop some shit into you and then you kind of move on to the next one, you know. And I basically, like, I anticipated when they did this organized crime that it would be very important that they were able to thread the needle for something like organized crime. So I anticipated, as you did, the different pacing, because there's no way to do organized crime justice without having to build the case and then take the case to trial. Mm-hmm. Because that's always how organized crime is. You know, even when you watch a mob movie, the snitch always has to get the evidence, and then they have to catch them in the act, and then they have to set up the sting, and then they get them, and then they take them to court, and then they have to make sure that the witnesses make it into court. Like, there's going to be a whole thing to this. So I was interested to see how Law and Order would take that type of pacing. And so far, it's been enjoyable. You know, I guess we can talk about the characters on there a little bit. But I am liking what they're doing with Stabler, basically using the death of his wife, driving him to figure it out. And of course, we're probably going to figure out that they're connected with this mafia family. But there are probably 3 things that bother me about the show. And so one, the black chick, the captain, you know.
Yeah.
She just a little too calm all the time. It's like, you ain't got no 10. Like, you're supposed to be black. It's like, you ain't gotta be stereotypical black, but you could just, you can snap a neck just a little bit.
Even you talking about 10 on the job, even when she had the moment at home with her wife and they were discussing their family.
Right.
It was the same. I was like, yo, you know, we haven't seen that 10, as you say, on a job, but like, where's your one and your two at home? You know what I mean? It was just so monotone. You know, you felt some emotion in her partner's voice, but it was like, yo, Stabler's good. I trust him. You know, I'm here for
I know he's had a rough past. You've done some questionable things, but
I'm here for the family. I'm here for the family. It's about like, you and us. I'm like, yo, we need some. And man, I'm gonna need her to upgrade her wig.
Right.
That's the same wig, I swear, that's the same wig that Captain Van Buren wore on the original Law and Order. And you will not debate me. Nobody out here will debate me.
So you're telling me they went into the Law and Order wig closet.
The warehouse. Pulled out
the same wig, bro.
You know, they went in the glove compartment of the car that Eddie blew up in at New York Undercover. And they pulled out the wig from the original Law and Order.
You sick, bro. Oh my God, bro. Now I'm gonna have to do some research. If you find that, bro, you're gonna have to put that on the social feed. I'm gonna need some evidence. Oh, all right. So you got me on track. So yeah, the black chick is number one. She definitely needs a little pep. Number two, why does the crime mob family have to be the Sinatras?
Or want to be the Sinatras so much.
Like, of all the names that you could get,
that's the one that you had to pick.
That's the one, bro. Sinatra. And like, is somebody getting paid for this? Like, what was that about?
I don't know. And then just, you know, like the family dynamic, I'm still trying to piece that shit together in my head. You know,
Son likes the black women and
the father does too, you know. But you know, I don't know, man. That family, I was kind of confused with the casting, you know, first off, you know. But that might be a good thing in the future. You know, we got the casting of the cop crew, but maybe that central, you know, because when Dylan McDermott was announced, I'm like, whoa, y'all got Dylan McDermott for this shit? Like, maybe he's the, you know, the lawyer or some shit. You know what I mean? Because they gave us no detail about what this show was going
to be. This is true.
You know what I mean? Literally just guessing. So, you know, in Law and Order mode, every time I see a name, I'm like, okay, this person fits here. This person fits there. So when, you know, even Tamron Taylor, for those who don't know about her, she was the crackhead on Tyler Perry's first movie. Oh, you know what I mean? Okay, maybe she's a cop. You know what I mean? Something like that. But no, they're a part of this family. You know, so that's another intriguing part of this show. You know, you got your central cop crew, but if they continue to, especially with these case arcs in subsequent seasons, if they keep on bringing, you know, different, you know, cast members in to play these parts, you know, that's a good way to keep a show fresh.
That is. Because you got a lot of, you know, quote unquote, family members to do certain things. And then when certain situations come up, somebody else has to come in. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a network and then there's an actual family. And, and so, yeah, man, you can always start bringing in new people. You know, and I know we don't kind of like how Power was for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where they would just kind of have new connects and new organizations and different things to deal with. So yeah, man, it's definitely has some potential. And now I'm gonna follow it through to the end of the season and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Man, that's
cool. We gotta.
I'm about to say, man. Are you short on time?
Or yeah.
Because I know we wanted to talk about that Jamie Foxx show, but I think I need to tend to some business too.
So, you know, we got plans to come back soon, especially once Derek gets situated. But I think me and you can connect, and let's jump back on here and pull another one of these together pretty soon. Because, yeah, man, it's some Netflix shit that we got to get into. You know, Mike Epps got his show dropping next week.
That is right.
With Kim Phil. So, yeah, let's get a feel of that show. And then we can come back and talk about both that show and Jamie Foxx show. I already got a feeling which one is better. Just based off seeing one. but not a hard bar to climb. and some other shit, man. So yeah, man. Definitely good to come back and chop it up about some of these shows. But yeah, man, let's get back together.
Let's get back on
some of the stuff that we didn't get a chance to talk to.